He tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they plus minus 10,000 in number. So he tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, spread out around Makkah Sharif. Wait till it is evening. When it is evening, light campfires. So to the people in Makkah Sharif, what it will seem, when they will look around at night, they will just see these campfires right around Makkah Sharif. They will think that this is such a huge army, they are totally surrounded. So look at the strategy of war that Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used. What a psychologist Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, although he didn't study psychology. But how he already broke them, even before they even saw the army, finished, their morale was already broken. So they see these fires. So Abu Sufyan, he goes to investigate. What is all these fires? Who is this who has come? So he goes to investigate. When he goes to investigate, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they arrest him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhum wants to finish him same time. Because this is the person who's been causing all the problem. But Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu says, no, let's take him to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they go to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving him da'wat. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inviting him to Islam. Eventually he accepts Islam. Then immediately, now Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him status and honor. So we would have said, okay, he's accepting Islam, that's one thing. But he's a nobody here for all what he did. But look at Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows that Abu Sufyan was the leader. So now he accepted Islam. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still gives him that status and that maqam. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be safe. If you want to be safe, go inside the house of Abu Sufyan. So no harm is done to him. On top of it, he is invited to Islam. After he accepts Islam, on top of that, he is given maqam and status also in Islam. Then if we have to take Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, he is the one who throws that spear and kills Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And what a type of a killing that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, when he saw the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, what mutilation. You know how they mutilated the body, cut off all the ears and the nose and what they did. And then she actually, Hinda actually went and she made a necklace with that. But that same Wahshi radiallahu anhu, it is what a story, if you read up in the tafsir, how Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to him, gives him da'wat. Then he sends a message back to say, but what about this and what about that? And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining this and telling him, you'll be pardoned for that and you'll be pardoned for this. And eventually he comes and he accepts Islam. And then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that you have accepted Islam, no problem. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, how you killed my uncle? Tell me how you did it. Then he explains the whole story. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, see, you have accepted Islam, but don't come in front. You can be with me wherever you are, but be on the side, be in the back. Don't come in front. And this Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him for his own good. Because naturally, after seeing that body like that, knowing what happened, and how close Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, when he's going to see Wahshi, that memory is going to come back. If that memory comes back, and if Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to look at him with a bad eye, that can be his barbadi. So to save himself, for his own good, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, You just stay, then stay close by, stay near, but stay in the back. Don't come in the front. And now look at this Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, and later on, when Musaylama Kazzab, the false prophet, he was claiming prophethood, and so many Muslims lost their lives fighting that Musaylama Kazzab. This Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, he said, one of the best people, I had the ill fortune of killing one of the best people. Now I am going to atone for it by going to kill one of the worst people. And he went and he killed Musaylama Kazzab, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu. And he made dua that, Ya Allah, let this be an atonement for that guna of mine. What I did there, let this be an atonement for that. Then if we take Hinda radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is the wife of Abu Sufyan. She is the same one who ordered the mutilation of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. She is the one who wants to chew the liver of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Later on, Abu Sufyan accepts Islam, she accepts Islam. Now imagine this. She, knowing what she did, she accepts Islam. She comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know my husband Abu Sufyan, he's a kanjus. He's a stingy person. He don't give me no money, he don't give no money for the children, nothing. Who she's coming to complain to? After knowing full well what she did, she still got the courage to come and complain to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine how lenient Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have been? That this woman, after doing whatever she did, what she did, she knew she can still come and bring her case to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is another masla I don't want to say on the mic just now. It'll be a problem. I don't want to talk about that masla. So khair. So this Hinda also, later on in life, once there was a battle taking place, and the Muslims, they just couldn't break the ranks of the kuffar in that battle. So Hinda was there. Hinda called other ladies and she said, come and stand here behind these men. And then she made announcement to the men. She said, don't waste your time. Take our scarves and take our bangles. Give us the swords, we'll go and fight. You'll don't know how to fight. So when they heard like that, now in the battle of Badr, she was the one, this Hinda, who brought the young girls there from the Quraysh and brought them to the battlefield of Badr, and she made announcement to the Quraysh that you all go and win this battle, these women will be at your service. She was encouraging them in that way. But here in this battle now, the tables have turned. Now for the sake of Islam, she tells those mujahideen, she said, take our scarves and take our bangles. You are not worthy of carrying swords. Give us the swords. We'll show you all how it's done. So when the men, when they heard that also, so then they said, no, no, no. Then they went and they made such an attack. And she told the woman, you all stand here in the back, so no man will think of running away from this battlefield. They'll be too embarrassed to run away from the battlefield. And she stood there in the back with those ladies, and like that those mujahideen made an attack, and then they broke the ranks of the kuffar. So that was that Hinda. Then if we take the captives of Badr, the first war, after all the problems in Makkah Sharif, the first war, the Muslims are victorious, right? And they got these captives now, 70 captives. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mashwara. What must do with them? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, what he said? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kill them. Don't only kill them. You must see, who is the close relative? My close relative, give him to me. I'll take his neck out. Then you must see the other Muslim, who is his close relative from there, hand him over to him, he must take his neck out. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, no, rather we just ransom, they must pay a ransom and then they can go free. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which way he goes? The easy route. Ransom. Give them ransom and let them go free. And then those who haven't got money, so no problem, what you do? You teach 10 Muslim children how to read and write, teach them. Once you teach 10 children, they know how to read and write, right, you're free, you can go. All the time, tolerant. Then if we look at this Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the Munafiqs, right? He too, how much trouble he caused to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Sharif. Abdullah bin Ubay has died. He died. Read in the books of Tariq. He was buried. His kafan was a kurta of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a very tall person, Abdullah bin Ubay. And when Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala in the battle of Badr, he was one of the captives. That time he was fighting on the side of the enemies. After that he became Muslim. So he was one of the captives. So when these captives were taken prisoner by the Muslims, so they had to clothe them, they had to feed them. And Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was very tall. So the only person whose kurta could fit him was Abdullah bin Ubay. So Abdullah bin Ubay gave a kurta for Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu. So now this time when Abdullah bin Ubay passed away, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will pay back that favor, what he did for my uncle. I will pay back that favor. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his own kurta for Abdullah bin Ubay's kafan. And then if we look at, sometime we can say that a person, and this is a fact, that a person in the public is very easy to adopt humility and tahammul and forbearance and everything. With friends, the person can be very, very tolerant. But at home, with his wife, with his children, with his workers, then he turns into a tiger. With his friends, he's so cool and calm and tolerant that they can do anything and say whatever they want to do. If he takes his friends and go for a drive somewhere, somebody is smoking in the car, the ash is falling down, somebody had the cold ring can is left in the car, somebody even burnt his seat, no complaints. But if you go with his children, the child is having one lollipop and a little bit sticky came on the window, flying off the handle. So to be tolerant sometime with the general public is easy, but at home, that is where the real test comes. Now look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam at home. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he says, I served Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. 10 years I served Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the 10 years, not even once he told me why you did this. If I did something, he never reprimanded me why you did this. And if I was supposed to do something and I never do it, he never asked me why I never did it. And if I did something and one of the house people had to shout me, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stop them. He says, Takdeer, now he broke that plate, this Takdeer is supposed to happen, leave him, don't shout him. Yeah, we already start knocking off from the maid's salary. First we pay them a pittance, then they break one plate, then we're knocking off the amount from the salary on top of it. And then, just take few more in the house. The Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they had such a betakalluf ta'alluq with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one day, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala's wife, she told him something. You know, like if he said something, so she said something else, back. So he shouted at her, how you can talk to me like that? So she told him, somebody who is much better than you, his wives talk to him like that, he don't say nothing. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, his daughter was the wife of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala. So he got a shock that, are they talking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this? So he went to his daughter, he called her one side. He said, are you talking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this? She said, yes, we talk to him. He said, watch out, you don't talk like that. But this was the taluk they had with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could talk to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It wasn't like now he's a tiger in the house. No, I'm Nabi and I've got a lot of work to do and tension and pressure. No, he was tolerant. Tolerant. His wives needed to talk to him. They can talk to him. Imagine this. The Habshi people, they were training. You know, they used to have a short, like a spear. So they were training in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi. Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's a young, she was married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, young. Now, she wants to see that, how they are training. It's something to see how they're training with the spears and they're somersaulting and they're going this way. And so Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing there. She comes behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She puts her chin on Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's shoulder and now she's watching. After a while, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks her, you saw enough now? She said, no. Carry on watching. She's watching, watching. After a while, again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, you saw enough now? No. She's saying, so long after that, now she was feeling like, you know, now later, in later years when she is narrating it, she's saying like, you know, I made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stand there so long and I was sitting and watching that. And she's saying, you can imagine a young person now, how fascinated they are with that type of thing. So how long I must have stood and watched. But Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never got upset. He never, you know, told me, right, and I got other work to do now and nothing like that. He just stood till I was satisfied, then only Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved away. And so many riwayat you find that people used to bring their babies. Like how nowadays two people take their baby by some buzur, make tahniq, make some dua and all that. People used to bring their babies to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times those children, they had nappies and huggies and all that time. Nothing of the sort. So many riwayat you'll find that the person brought his child to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the child, you know, made number one on Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But never will you find that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got upset. Never you find that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got upset. Took off with them now. Hey, bring the child like this and nothing of the sort. Tolerance. We in our life, our chakkar, we have become so, we need to get here, we need to do that, we need to do this, we need to do that. One person must make one slip up on the road, we are ready to go ballistic. One person must take long to come out from somewhere, we are ready to lose our head, go to town, get upset, start shouting, sometimes fisticuffs, road rage, people are killing one another. This shouldn't be our... One day I saw myself, the robot, this side, if you're facing there, there's an arrow for you. There's, you know, arrow for you to go. The Muslim person from this side, now his robot is red. Robot is the arrow only for these people who are turning. So he comes and he shoots that. Don't know what whose funeral he was in a hurry for. But he shoots that robot. So there's an elderly white couple. They were going to take the turn. I was behind them. And they were going to take the turn. And this fellow came with a speed and with his car he went. So this person like this flicked him like, hey, you know, what you doing, you know. That fellow, he starts swearing these people. His fault, he's doing the wrong thing and he's swearing them. So then when they call the Muslims terrorists, now who you blame? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bless us with the sifat of tolerance. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.